Humble yourself in the eyes of the Lord. Humble yourself in the eyes of the Lord, and He will lift you up higher and higher, and He will lift you up. Why don't you humble yourself in the eyes of the Lord? Humble yourself in the eyes of the Lord, and He will lift you up higher and higher, and He will lift you up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence in this place, Lord. Thank you for your grace. He is ministering to us right now, touching our lives, blessing our hearts. It's good to know the Lord, isn't it? Good to know the Lord, isn't it? Amen. Have thine own way, Lord. One more song. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and shape me after thy will. While I am waiting, humble and still, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and shape me after thy will. While I am waiting, humble and still. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for this time together. Heavenly Father, help us as we transition into your word. Thank you for meeting with us in praise and song and testimony. And thank you for your goodness and what you're doing in our midst here, not just at Covenant of Grace Ministry, but in the body of Christ. And we pray your anointing to break the yokes of bondage, to see opportunities, to see the captives, set free those who are incarcerated by sin, doubt, fear, and worry. We pray, God, for hope and strength and God's love to fill a vacuum of people's souls. In the name of Jesus, give us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying today. Help us to have the knowledge of Christ and to have your Spirit minister to us, and the Holy Spirit to help us to understand truth today as we get into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We are in the second session of Christ in Session, talking about six different things that are important to the church and its development and its being relevant in the earth, and addressing certain things that are necessary for us to become equipped as the body of Christ and to have fellowship one with another and to reflect Jesus. First thing we dealt with was in our last teaching series, which was a two-part lesson series, the problem, shadow or substance. Today we're going to talk about preparation for Jesus' departure. Next, we're going to talk about the program for operation. Then progress of his plan. Fifth, perceiving his people and pursuing the goal. Now, this is not new to me. This is something I was taught in the 70s and that I've brought back to life afresh in our assembly and in our fellowship groups. And I believe it is necessary for us to go the next level as a group and as we minister to one another in the body of Christ. And we need to remember some things that were brought to our attention in the early part of the Pentecostal charismatic movement as God was breathing afresh in all the churches with his Spirit and helped to get the right foundations and things in order to see God minister. There has become a lot of trappings and things with Christianity that are not good. And even though we've had revival and seen many people come to God since the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in a special wave during the 60s and on through till today, in this latter rain outpouring of God's Spirit, and before that even, you know, it has been good. It's been a blessing. But there has been a almost, I don't want to use the term bastardized, that's not good, but there has been a form of godliness that has at times supplanted what was God's intention. And there are folks that have choreographed something within to the church that is not the church, and it's been impeded in its maturity in walking in the growth and the knowledge of God. And it's taken upon things that are not necessarily the church and have brought about attitudes and ideas that have actually hurt the reflection of who the body of Christ is to this generation. And so many folks are disenchanted by the church they're seeing and this hypocritical body of Christ, and they're walking away from it instead of embracing it. We need to get back to the brass tacks. We need to remember the two greatest commandments: to love God with all our heart, soul, and being, and to love our neighbor, and to minister in the true form of love God wants. And if we got a hold of 1 Corinthians chapter 13's teaching the way we should, we'd get it right. But we don't really study that and look into that the way we should in the church. But Jesus did some things in preparing the disciples for his departure that we need to learn, or we haven't got learned. And that's not right English, but we haven't taken hold of. And I hope that in this teaching today and such, that you will gain some new perspective. I really enjoyed what we taught in the first part of this lesson series, considering the problem, shadow, and substance, and getting hold of the real Jesus, and not just mimicking or trying to have some kind of facade going on about Christianity with their hearts and lives, but getting the real Jesus with their hearts and lives and conveying him. Now I want to get into what Christ did in preparing his disciples to become the children of destiny that they were meant to be, and the early church in preparation of its beginnings in the book of Acts. In order to see the reality of Christ in session, we must first see the reality of Jesus, the man who walked the shores of the Sea of Galilee, who came heralding the kingdom of God, who performed miracles of healing and deliverance, who walked upon the water, who fed thousands of eager listeners from 5 loaves and 2 fish. We must sit where he sat and listen to him discussing with his disciples some of the plans of his Father for them, and through them, for you and me, getting to understand all that Jesus wanted to reveal and help them to get a hold of before his departure. In reading the Gospels, we learn that the multitudes followed Jesus during the 3 years of his earthly ministry. In various places, we read of a lot of people who have followed him along the way, wanted to hear him, wanted to see him, wanted to see the miracles that he did and would perform. Many of them saw reality in him and sought him out to learn more of the source of the power that was evident in his miracles and the authority that he had in teaching and the source of strength which he drew upon in his character. Those three things we need to as well get a hold of here in the body of Christ and cherish within our hearts and lives. One, understanding the source of his power. And two, his authority. And three, reflecting his character. His authority, his source, his character. That's what people gravitated to. That's what touched people's hearts and lives, and people wanted to get a hold of. Where did his source of power come from? Where did his authority come from? Where did his character come from? I'll tell you where it came from. It came from the presence of God. Not something that you could dredge up by some kind of earthly manipulation or teaching that could be, quote, that which you could try to live by. or some creed you could follow after. But the presence of God, the God within the man Jesus, that was the source of his power, made the difference in seeing the word he spoke come to life. And the authority he had was that which came from heaven, as he came as the Son of God to the earth, walking in authority and walking with the word that was given to him from the beginning. And walking in that power and walking in that authority, his spirit, his character took place to be that which found itself being conveyed in a way that bore fruit, as he desires for us to bear the fruit of the Spirit and show forth the character of Christ, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, and kindness, and such. These three things helped put together within the man Christ Jesus this dynamic ministry that prepared the people of God for the eventuality of the church, but also put him in the place of being ready to become the sacrifice lamb for his generation and for us today. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 12, if you will. The book of John, chapter 12. And we're going to talk a little bit about the preparation that Jesus did in getting his disciples ready for his departure. John chapter 12, and I'm going to be reading from the Common English Bible. And I want to read, if you will, from verse 1 to begin with. 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, home of Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Lazarus and his sisters hosted a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was among those who joined him at the table. Then Mary took an extraordinary amount, almost 3/4 pound of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She anointed Jesus' feet with it, then wiped his feet dry with her hair. The house was filled with the aroma of the perfume. Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, complained, "This perfume was worth a year's wages. Why wasn't it sold and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He carried the money bag and would take what was in it. Jesus said, in verse 7, "Leave her alone. This perfume was to be used in preparation for my burial, and this is how she has used it. You will always have the poor among you, but you won't always have me." Jesus Christ is teaching us something very important here. That when he's around, when his presence is with us, it should be cherished. And in preparation for his departure, this anointing that took place was cherished by the Lord, because it didn't just prepare his body for burial, but it also showed forth the sacrifice of one who wanted to pour out their love before his feet. And if you, in your personal walk, want to see the source of power of God's grace in your life, you want to see authority in your heart and life, you want to see the character of Christ in your life, you're going to have to pour out of yourself at the foot of the Lord. You're going to have to go before the throne of grace and cry out before the Lord and allow his grace to touch your heart and life. You can't dredge this thing up. You can't make this thing up. You can't just intellectually ascend into some kind of understanding to understand and convey and to portray the Christian message, the good news of Jesus Christ, and to see the results that Jesus has and those who were like him and have served him faithfully. That source of power comes from prayer. It comes from fasting. It comes from getting a hold of the Lord and taking hold of that which the Lord wants to convey to us. And then to walk in the authority of that which is in true honesty of his word and with the mantle of his grace. that we minister the word not by that which we deem as our authority or our prestige, but that which comes from the Lord in His integrity, in His grace. And then exemplify His character and see the fruit of the Spirit go forth, His kindness, His gentleness, His meekness, and see the world touched and blessed by the power of God. Wherever Jesus walked, wherever Jesus went, things happened. People rose from the grave. People were healed. People's lives were changed. Doctrines were challenged. People started to reevaluate where they came from and what they were doing. Jesus Christ shook things up, and not in a way to cause some kind of riot or any kind of sort of calamity for the people, but He came to share the good news that there's hope. And so much of Christendom today is found to be that which tries to stir up a message, give out something, and make a stand, quote. But it's lacking in its source of power. It's lacking in its source of true authority. It's lacking in the fruit of the Spirit, the true character of God being exemplified and manifested. That is because they've gotten used to mimicking or expressing or using counterfeit rather than the real Jesus and the power of the Spirit of God within, because they haven't poured themselves out at the altar. They haven't poured themselves out to the Lord. We've got so many things in the body of Christ now to help us to be a Christian. Every single teaching tool, every single tape, every single book, we got stuff for everything. Man, we got manuals for this, manuals for that, and things to do for this, and things to do for that. I mean, we can go about our business, and we can just forget about God. We just know what to do. But there's no shortcut to godliness. There's no shortcut to the Holy Spirit. There's no shortcut to the ministry of the Lord. There's no shortcut to holiness. Hallelujah. If you want the real, if you want the genuine, you've got to pay the price. You've got to pray. Take time in the Lord's presence. You've got to take time to learn of Him, to know of Him. You've got to have the mantle or the authority of God. You've got to be in that place to receive of it. I want you to look, before we get any further into the book of John, to another passage of scripture or consideration from the Word of God, and that would be considering Elisha. And Elisha wanted something, and he wanted it from God, but he also wanted a portion of the spirit of a man that was shown forth to him. When Elijah was preparing for his departure from the earth, he asked Elisha, "What do you want from me?" The reply was, "I want a double portion of what you have." Elijah then made a rather unusual remark. "If you see me when I am taken, then your request will be granted. If you see me when I am taken, then your request will be granted." The continuing story in 2 Kings 2, 1 through 15 tells us that in the midst of the excitement of the coming of the fiery chariot, Elisha kept his eyes on only one thing, the figure of Elijah. Due to this faithfulness, the mantle of Elijah fell upon his seeking servant. The result of this seeing was performance of twice as many miracles as Elijah had performed. That singleness of vision is necessary for us to see the spiritual life of Jesus Christ manifested in our hearts and lives, to see the power and the source of God's anointing upon what we undertake to do, to see the authority of God and walk in His grace, not having to take hold of something, but the Lord already to have taken hold of us and us expressing God's power and mercy and people recognizing the authority of God. And then the fruit of the Spirit, the true character of God, taking place and being that which people perceive of or understand, feeling like they have been with Jesus as we walk with Jesus. There is no substitute. There is nothing else than Christ in you, the hope of glory, that makes the difference and can make up the difference for our lack in our daily lives and in our humanity. Less of us and more of Him is what we need, church. Jesus had a singleness of vision. And because of that singleness of vision, He was able to take hold of what was passed on to Him to do by the Father's challenge. And in our hearts and lives, we can take hold of the Father's challenge, but we can do nothing short of what Jesus did, and that was to walk in the precepts of God's Word and taking hold of the Holy Spirit and allowing that life-giving force of God to flow through us, and then seeing His authority taking place in our lives, not because we have something extraordinary because of our abilities, but because of His keen grace and power. And then see the character of Christ exemplified and lives touched and lives changed by the power of Jesus' name. You need to get in covenant with God's Word. You need to get in covenant with God's plan. You need to get in covenant with God's vision to understand the full scope of things. And Jesus understood the covenant, and He understood what He was there for, and He was opening up a new and living way to those who would receive the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ. He came and He spoke with one as authority, and the power of God demonstrated itself. And the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the different groups and splinter groups of Judaism were caught at odds, wondering what to do, because this man demonstrated the presence and the power and the grace and the glory of God. And everywhere he went, something happened that was good. You know, the Word of God had become of none effect in the time that Jesus found Himself in. And it was in that time He came and His light shined, and people saw it for what it was, that the Word had lost its power. That the religious people of the day had lost their authority. That the true character of God wasn't being shown through the lives of the scribes and the Pharisees and the leaders of Judaism. Jesus came to challenge. Jesus came to show forth His love. Jesus came to make people think and to get people to a place to recognize, hey, look what's happened to us. We need to stir ourselves up, and we need to receive the fresh touch from the Father. We need to receive the Holy Spirit. We need the outpouring of God's Spirit to touch and bless and transform our lives, that we can be God's people and we can cherish the things of God and show forth the glory of God in our lives. That singleness of vision can help us if we'll do so, just like it did Elisha. He kept his eyes upon Elijah, and the mantle fell upon him, and he went back across where he had came from with that mantle and authority and did twice the miracles that Elisha did. He wanted a portion of that Spirit. Today, do you want a portion of Christ's Spirit? Do you want to go forth in that anointing? Do you want to go forth with those kind of results that Jesus had in His ministry? It can happen. The Bible says that greater works than these will you do in My name's sake. Christ expects something of us, and that is to fall at His feet and to honor Him as Lord and Savior, and pour our tears upon His feet in repentance, just as Mary did that ointment, and see God's love minister in preparation for the work that we would do, even as Christ was being prepared for the work and the purpose that He came to do and fulfill at the cross. Won't you allow Him to prepare you for your ministry? Won't you allow him to prepare you for victory? Won't you allow him to prepare you for the opportunities that lie ahead? Won't you give him a chance? Turn with me to verse 20, if you will. Some Greeks were among those who had come up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and made a request. "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Philip told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The time has come for the human one to be glorified. I assure you that unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it can only be a single seed. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their lives will lose them, and those who hate their lives in this world will keep them forever. Whoever serves me must follow me. Wherever I am, there my servant will also be. My Father's will to honor whoever serves me." They wanted to see Jesus. But the cost of wanting to see Jesus is this: to understand that you're going to have to die out, that you're going to be like a seed that's going to be planted in the ground, and you allow God time to see it tended to and watered and the sunshine to come forth and to see the grace of God and then fruit to come forth in due season. Church, don't rush it. Church, don't try to manufacture it. Let God minister to you. Sometimes we go through trials and we go through tribulations, and sometimes we don't learn our lessons and we don't gain access to what the Lord is wanting to help us to understand. And so we go through the same thing again later down the road because we didn't take the time it needed to die out, to be nourished by the Lord, to see his light shine, to see the fruit come forth, to see the grace of God. We allowed ourselves instead to become plucked up or uprooted. We didn't take hold of what the Lord wants to do, to bear the fruit and the character of God, that we could walk in his power, that we could express the authority of God and see the work of the Lord be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's not easy. It's not easy. But there's no other way. Jesus was buried in the ground. He gave himself at the cross. He was buried and put in the ground. 3 days later, he rose again. There were no shortcuts. This was the way it had to be. He even prayed, "Lord, let this cup pass from me." And I know there are times you're going through trials and temptations and difficulties in life, and you want that cup to pass from you. But if you're going to be prepared to be the servant and the person of God the Lord wants for you to be, and to see the glory and the anointing of God in your hearts and lives, you're going to have to pass through the fire. You're going to have to go through the flood. You're going to have to be buried in the ground, in a sense, to come forth the newness of life. The old man put aside, the new man in Christ being alive, and seeing the victory of God coming forth and gaining understanding through the grace of God to receive the blessing of God. There are no shortcuts. There is no simple route. I do not know any easy way to prepare you for the purposes of God rather than pouring yourself out at the feet of Jesus and then allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to you and just allowing God to take the time he's got to take to prepare you to be the vessel of honor that you can be, that he can pour into your life those things that you can pour out to be a blessing to others and to see you become the receptacle that is worthy of the benefits of the new covenant blessings of Christ. Amen. I don't know any shortcuts. I don't know any other way than through the cross. I don't know any other way than through the cross, folks. From the cross to the ground, then comes the resurrection. The resurrection. Then comes the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He'll lift you up. He'll lift you up, and then he'll strengthen you and equip you. "Pastor, I don't know if I can go through this." You can go through it. He's preparing you. He's preparing you for something distinct, something wonderful. Keep that singleness of vision. And let your eyes see peripherally as well when it comes to what all God is doing for those that He loves in preparation for their ultimate place in heaven. Sometimes we are so short-sighted, we don't get the picture. But God wants us to understand that He's got a bigger picture view than we've ever seen. And He sees the end before the beginning. And we are a part of that purpose in God. And if we'll take time in His presence, He will take time out with us. And we are going to be blessed because of it. You know, when I was a young man growing up in the church, I used to appreciate the men of God who took time out for me. The women of God who took time out for me. Who would explain some things. Who would talk to me about some, who would pray with me. Who would let me in on some of the things that I didn't quite catch. And because of that, it blessed my life so much. Reverend Nordstrom, Father Gordon, Reverend Edmund, just so many people along my pathway that blessed my life. You know something? Take time to be holy. Take time to get it right. There are no shortcuts to God's plan and purpose. And if we will take the time to know Him, to take the time in His Word, to take the time in fellowship, to take the time to consider what He has for us, we will be so blessed in the long run. Well, Pastor, I just want to get out there and get going. Well, there's a place to try to bless people's lives and to be a witness and use what you got. But there's no shortcuts to the ministry like Jesus had. And it followed its way through the cross to the grave until there was resurrection. And then the anointing and the outpouring of God's Spirit and the power of God. Folks, He wants to prepare you for something today. You've got to give Him the opportunity. I remember how anxious I was when I wanted to get into ministry and to do things for God. And I tell you, I think I got jump-started a little too quick in some ways. But I'm thankful for the opportunities I had. Singing, ministering, preaching, teaching. I think I even pastored too young. But whatever it was, I tried to put my heart to God. But I did pour myself out before the Lord. But sometimes, I didn't make that way through the cross like I should have. And I think if I would have and paid some of the price along the way, I would have been better prepared for some of the other things in life that have come on my journey. Hallelujah. There's no shortcut. Pour yourself out. Receive of the Lord. Let the power of the Holy Spirit fill your vessel. Gain authority that comes from His honor, His grace, not something you supersede by saying, well, I'm from so-and-so's church, or I'm so-and-so's son, or I'm this or that. I'm nothing. You're nothing. I'm just a child of God. I'm no better than anyone else. Amen? Remember that. That way the fruit's going to come. That way the miracles are going to come. That way the salvation of souls are going to come. That way the provision's going to come. That's where your family's going to be blessed. That's where your children are going to be saved. Because you took time in His presence. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Oh, what fellowship divine! I am His, and He is mine, and in the presence of the Lord, this fullness of joy. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Oh, what fellowship divine! I am His and He is mine. And in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. One more time. In His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Isn't He wonderful? Isn't He wonderful? Take time in His presence. Take time in His presence. There are no shortcuts in God. There's no back door to great ministry. There's no back door. There's no easy street. Hallelujah. It's through the cross. It's to be buried. But then there will come resurrection life. There will come anointing. Take time to be holy. Take time in His presence. Glory to God.